The weather is getting cooler, but the football is heating up. It's week 7 of the Louisiana High School football season, and this week features a number of marquee matchups. From Central versus Catholic Baton Rouge and Ruston versus Neville, to Vermilion Catholic versus Ascension Episcopal and Alexandria versus Pineville. The schedule is full of rivalry games and matchups that could decide district championships. We preview those games and more next on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Week 7 of the Louisiana High School football season is here, and this is the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. I'm Ian Ozan. Happy that you are here with us again this week. Let's start in the northwest portion of the state, Shreveport. Tim Fletcher from KWKH. 11:30, the Tiger joins us. And Tim, you may have had the most interesting game of week 6, Captain Shreve against Evangel. 77-76, Shreve wins in overtime. Mm-hmm. There's been a bit of a controversy over any records that were set in that game. You've been around sports for a long time, especially on the broadcast side. Have you seen anything like this before?
No, this is something, you know, completely out of the ordinary, because if you think about it, Ian, Captain Shreve, A, won the game, which is why you play the games in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. So they're the winners, and you look at their participation, you're like, hey, Brody Savage, he's had a school record for Captain Shreve. 505 yards passing, 5 touchdowns. Jamarcy A. Plater, he set a school record for rushing yards for Captain Shreve. 18 carries, 350 yards, broke the record that he set the week before against Airline. 4 touchdowns. He also had 4 catches for 107 yards and 1 touchdown. Kadarian Devers had 7 catches for 210 yards and 1 touchdown. And that's not what anyone's talking about.
No, they're talking about the Evangel kid.
They're talking about Peyton Pops Houston, who went 53 out of 68 for 817 yards, which is a school, city, state, and national record. Roy Lang with the Advocate, the Shreveport-Bossier Advocate, and Jarrett Roser, of course, we're all familiar with Jarrett and his work with high school sports. They both went through the tape and got the official stats. This is their stats. This is not Evangel pumping it up or Shreve pumping it up, whatever. This is what the kid threw for, 817 yards, 8 touchdowns. He also ran the ball 16 times for 102 yards and 2 touchdowns. No interceptions, by the way, in all of this. And he's only a sophomore. Let's not forget that. But still, 817 yards is a new NFHS record, National Federation of High School, which is basically, I think that most of us look at that as the official record book of high school football. Max Preps still has Will Greer, the old West Virginia quarterback who's bounced around different teams in the league, you know, drafted by the Panthers. They still have him as the national record holder with like 837 yards or something, but that was in Texas and private schools, and some people say that Texas doesn't go by the NFHS rules. They go by NCAA rules, and so that's why they're not in the record book. No matter how you slice it, the kids set records with 817 yards passing in one night of football.
When it's all said and done, though, Evangel still 1-5. They've lost 4 straight now. They have a chance to rebound playing a 1-5 Benton team, who, by the way, got their first win of the season last week, taking on Houghton. So for Evangel, what do they have to do to right the ship and to pick up this win this week?
Well, they pretty much have to do what they've been doing. You know, they lost by 1 point to Captain Shreve, you know, went for 2. Lost by 1 point to Huntington, who was 4-2. They got beat by Airline 47-42. Airline still undefeated. Bird is 5-1. They lost by, that was a one-score game late in the fourth quarter. They lost to Neville to start the season 42-24. That's really the only game that they were out of by the fourth quarter. And that's it. And so their 5 losses are all a little bit kind of like, well, you know, you have the ball bounce your way one way here, and all of a sudden that 5-1-5 is, you know, 3-3, 4-2. Benton can kind of say the same thing, to be honest with you. They've lost to Huntington by 1 score. They, you know, were in it against Northwood in the opening game. They lose in the very end, 24-21. So they could be 3-3. They did play better last week. They've got a young man in Malachi Ziegler, who also is a 2027 recruit, who LSU has their eyes on. You know, he's in the same class with Peyton Pops Houston. I'm telling you, there are some really great quarterbacks in that 2027 class. There's great ones in the 2025 class up here. But Malachi Ziegler and Peyton Pops Houston going toe-to-toe, head-to-head, even though they're not actually, since one's quarterbacking, the other one's not going to be on defense. You know what I mean, though. It's going to be a fun, interesting game. But I think Evangel probably gets their second win of the season. I'd be a little surprised if they don't. The game's at Evangel. Will Benton come in there? And, you know, they've got to, someone's got to play defense. You know, that's the thing. And that seems to be a lack thereof in high school football, at least in these parts.
Airline is 4-0 in district. They get Houghton this week, Natchitoches Central next week. Then they close out playing Byrd in Huntington. Huntington and Byrd both with one loss. You got Parkway in there with one loss. They still have to play Shreve in Huntington. Shreve is 3-2 in district. This is a tight race right now. Do you think we're going to see an outright winner in this district? Can Airline go the distance and finish unbeaten? Or are we going to have a tie atop?
I think they can. I think that Airline can go ahead and finish the regular season unbeaten. I really do. I think that they have a quarterback in Ben Taylor, the Northwestern State commit, that just doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They've got the best receiver in town right now, Kenny Darby. They've got many other weapons as well. And one of the weapons that they kind of trotted out this week that's been a part of their aerial assault for quite some time, but he just really had one of those lights-out games, and that's Aiden Baker, their big tight end. 7 catches, 100 yards. You know, Kenny Darby had 3 catches, all went for touchdowns. Micah Johnson's a nice little running back for them. They do enough. They spread the ball around enough offensively that you can't just concentrate on Darby because you'll end up getting toasted by someone else. I think they'll beat Houghton. I think they'll beat Natchitoches, both of those schools. Houghton is, they are freshmen and sophomores aplenty. They're going to be really good for the next couple of years, but they're, you know, trying to make it to the playoffs in any way they can with first-year head coach Matthew Sewell. Natchitoches with Brad Laird as the head coach has been in several games, but they just don't have the personnel to match up. I don't think anyone has enough good secondary members to match up with Airline. And then when it comes to Byrd, Byrd's offense is horrible to try to prepare for. But if Airline is able to get up 2 scores, 3 scores on Byrd, it's tough for that Byrd offense to come back. The Huntington game could be very interesting. Because by then, got to think that Landon Gibbs will be back at quarterback and they'll kind of be back at full strength. He's still out with an injury right now. But I think Airline's just the best team in 1-5A. And I don't think they're head and shoulders above everybody. Once again, you know, they were 1 point better than Shreve on a missed 2-point conversion. They were 5 points better than Evangel. But I just think they're better than the other teams are right now. I think that Byrd will give them a game. And certainly I think that Huntington will give them a game. So it's not over with, but if I were a wagering man, I would think that Airline has a very good chance to go 10-0.
Let's jump down to Class 4A. In 1-4A, North DeSoto faces Minden this week. North DeSoto 4-2, 3-0 in district. Minden 5-1, 2-1 in district. If North DeSoto wins, they would have a lock, or I should say would virtually have a lock on the district.
Well,
if
they
Minden
wins. That was the game this week. North DeSoto hammered Minden.
That's right.
Absolutely.
42-0.
Throttled them.
I misread my schedule.
Yeah.
North DeSoto got the win this week, 42-0 over Minden, so they now have the lead in the district. North DeSoto this week gets an 0-5 Southwood squad, while Minden takes on Booker T. Washington. I'd imagine, even though Booker T. is 3-3, this should be a bounce-back game for Minden.
It should be a bounce-back game, but BTW is one of those teams that's coached by an alumnus in Gary Cooper, who played at Grambling, played professionally for the Battle Wings, bounced around the Arena League. He's back at his high school. This is his third year there, and they are playing so much better football. They lost to North DeSoto 2 weeks ago, 20-14. And so last week, just Northwood just got the best of them. They created a couple of turnovers, and Northwood was clicking offensively in the defense. Northwood's got a nice defense, but once again, this is a BTW team that came within 1 score beating North DeSoto 2 weeks ago. You know, so I think BTW can give Minden fits. I don't think they will beat Minden, but, you know, the game is at Leonard C. Barnes in town. It's a neat stadium. It's down in a hole in the middle of a neighborhood, just like Minden Stadium is in their neighborhood, except BTW is in the middle of Shreveport as opposed to a small community. I think it'll be a very close game as far as North DeSoto is concerned. Yeah, Southwood's not going to pose much of a problem. Southwood's losing streak is at 42 games now. North DeSoto still has Woodlawn and Loyola and Bossier on the schedule. They'll be favored in all those games. Loyola is a very tough out, though. In their first season in District 1-4A in a while, Loyola's
packing it in, man. They're 2-1 in district play. Packing it in as in like packing in the punch, I suppose I should clarify that. 4-2 overall. They've got Woodlawn this week, and that'll be kind of a good test for both of those. It could very well come down to Loyola North DeSoto in that next to last week of the season.
In Class 2A, Calvary Baptist, undefeated in district. They're 4-2 on the season. They get Union Parish this week, also unbeaten in that district, 3-3 overall. Both teams hanging more than 50 points in their opponents last week. Calvary Baptist winning 59-20 over Homer. Union Parish 56-0 over North Caddo. Who do you have in this one?
Well, this is one of those where it's at Union Parish, but I just think that Calvary's got too many athletes. The thing about Spadafora's team over at Union Parish, started off 0-3, and there were like some hand-wringing going on. What's going wrong with Union Parish? Well, they played North DeSoto, who's 4-2 and really good. Then they played Ash, who's 6-0, just coming off a win over West Monroe. Then they played Airline, who's 6-0. So their first three games of the season, they lost to teams that are combined 16-2. Since then, they've been playing folks in their district. They destroyed Green Oaks, destroyed Homer, which is not easy to do, and then beat a pretty doggone good North Caddo team 56-0 last week. So Union Parish is absolutely back to where you thought they were going to be, but the same can be said for Calvary as well. Their two losses were to Neville and Franklin Parish, who were both 11-1 combined, and they were both four-point losses. So there's been no shame in their game, and they do have one of the most unheralded quarterbacks in the state that I still don't quite understand why he's not got more offers is Abram Wardell. I know McNeese has been looking at him a little bit. I know that I think as ULM is looking at him locally, you know, Centenary and Louisiana Christian and all that, but this is a kid who's got over 100 touchdowns. He does everything right. He's, you know, valedictorian eligible for his class. And they've got James Simon, a Texas commit at running back. They are starting to unleash those beasts, and I think Calvary is going to get the best of them, but I think it will be a very physical game, which both teams welcome. You know, people think that Calvary, since they throw the ball around so much, that they're not a very physical team. Perhaps they are extremely physical. They've got the linemen that can do it, and Simon loves contact. So I think you'll see a very physical game, but I think Calvary will end up on top of this one.
And in Class 1A, we can't forget Logansport. They're undefeated in District 3-2. They've gone win, loss, win, loss, win. I think they break the pattern this week when they play an 0-6 Lakeview squad. So Logansport, to give them some of their just desserts. In District 3-1A, they're leading that district right now. LaSalle right behind them, 3-3 overall with a 1-0 record. This week they get Northwood Lena. So some of the other teams in the northwestern part of the state, we haven't touched on them lately, but want to make sure that they do get their credit for having a good season so far.
Yeah, Logansport's one of those teams that schedules tough early. They've got a new Jumbotron at their stadium that's got all the bells and whistles, video replay and stuff. And for a 1A school and a public school, that's kind of unusual. And so they're pretty froggy about that. Kevin McGee does a great job, once again, coaching at his alma mater, where he won a state championship as a player. He's won a state championship as a coach. And they feel like they've got a team that could make a little run for it as well this year, just like Haynesville. Now, one game that we do want to at least kind of keep an eye on is the battle of North and South. Shreve's coming down to Destrehan. So that's going to be a fun little matchup there, because Shreve, as we mentioned with Brody Savage, with Jamar C.A. Plater, I think the folks down south are going to enjoy watching Plater. He is a tough son of a gun, man. About 200 pounds, rugged, can do it all, is going to absolutely start having offers out the wazoo here soon. Taking on the Destrehan team, who all they have are losses to Catholic High, Ash, and who was it, Terrebonne, I think?
Yes.
But, you know, they're 3-3, but they're a good 3-3. So I think this is a nice matchup for both these schools. It'll be an interesting one for Destrehan, because they can say, okay, if this is the best that North Louisiana has to offer, and we beat them by 13 points or 20 points, then we're going to feel pretty good about our playoff draw if we take somebody on from North Louisiana. The same for Shreve. They're like, hey, man, we've got one loss, and it's by 1 point to an undefeated team. If we go down here and flex our muscles and we're able to handle a pretty doggone good South Louisiana team, then that should bode well for all of our 1-5A and 2-5A schools if they have counter matchups with some of the South Louisiana schools. So I've always liked the North-South matchups. Birds had a couple and have won a couple of games like that. You know, North DeSoto's played a team from down south. So it's kind of fun when we kind of bring out the boot and have the folks who are at the top of the boot take on the folks who are down at the laces.
He is Tim Fletcher from KWKH 1130 The Tiger joining us on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, buddy.
And we head down Interstate 20 from Shreveport to Monroe. Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law Friday Night Scoreboard Show joins us. Gene, several big matchups on the agenda this week. Neville at Ruston, one of them. And this is one that could shape the entire district. You've got two teams that are 1-0 in district play right now and both undefeated coming into this week, 6-0. Who has the advantage in this contest?
Man, I'm not sure that anybody does, although obviously Ruston being at home is going to be part of the issue. But and because they're defending state champs and they're getting healthy again, they've got Josh Brantley back at quarterback, and he had a huge night against Ouachita the other night. I think he threw for 173 yards and a score, ran in two more. But, I mean, it's going to be a great football game. And I don't remember if you remember a year ago. Remember, Neville had them beat last year and had a fourth down muffed punt when it got snapped back to the punter. Ruston recovered it, and a couple of plays later they were in the end zone, and that was the difference in the ball game. So Coach Mike Collins is going to have those guys ready to play. But I promise you, Ruston, I think, didn't play that well, or Coach kind of told us on Saturday morning, but he didn't feel like his whole team was in the ball game against Washington this past week in what was a 22-21 ball game, as I'm sure you saw. I think maybe they were even looking ahead to this one. So, anyway, it's going to be a fun game. It is our K104 game of the week, and we're looking forward to it.
And you led me to my next question with regards to Ruston. Nobody had played them closer this year, as Ouachita has played them last week, and now Ruston gets Neville. Both teams 6-0, undefeated in district. What can we expect from this game?
Well, I mean, I just think that says a lot about this district, probably more than anything else. I mean, I honestly believe on any given night, West Monroe, Ash, Neville, Ruston, Ouachita, any one of those five schools can beat anybody, any night. And it came close to happening the other night. You know, West Monroe lost down at Ash when they scored with under 2 minutes to go, talking about the Trojans. You know, it was just a great football game. So, but you're right. That Ruston-Neville ball game is the ticket. Neville being at Ruston, excuse me, and then West Monroe at Ouachita. Both of those teams, being 0-1 in district play, feel like they have to win this week just to kind of keep pace, and they probably do.
Calvary Baptist gets Union Parish this week. That's going to be another huge matchup.
Yeah, you know, Union, we actually went to dinner with Coach Spatafore last Wednesday and sat down with him for about an hour, just, you know, chewing the fat a little bit. And look, he loves the way they are. And Calvary's a great football team, and they've played some great football games over the year. But in Union, in this case, I think he's got everybody healthy. He's got them at home this coming Friday night. Man, I would not be surprised to see Farmerville win this game, and maybe by more than a touchdown. So it's one that people, I think, around the state will certainly keep an eye on.
And that's one just because of the name brands there, Calvary Baptist and Union. These are two teams that you always expect to be in the conversation for a state championship. So you're getting, in Week 7, a playoff preview right here.
No question about it. And look, they're in the conversation for a reason. And in another 4 weeks, they'll be there again. And both of those teams are in a spot where they can take their classes deep into the postseason. So it's fun to watch those. You know, Spada has a way of getting those guys fired up, and that's a special place to play. So it's going to be a fun football game.
And Oak Grove and Mangum, another huge match this week. These are a couple of the smaller schools in the area. And for those outside of Northeast Louisiana, you may not hear about them all that much. But this is one where if you see this game anywhere, whether it's regular season or playoffs, you drop what you're doing to watch it.
Well, Oak Grove has kind of quietly gone about their business and gotten themselves in position to make a run in the back half of the season. But you know, Ryan Gregory, man, he's a great coach. He's got a great leader in Bradley at quarterback. He's got his running backs. You know, it does sometimes doesn't matter how those guys start off a football season. Tigers are going to be ready to play. Now, the Mangum Dragons are in that same canoe. I think they had some injuries early in the season. In fact, I know they did. But, boy, they had a huge win against Faraday this past week. Totally shut down that offense. I think they won 35-6. And their defense is what's getting it done. I know Jacoby Young had a handful of tackles. The Cade Pollard kid had 10 more on defense. So Oak Grove has that strong, powerful offense, but Mangum has that D. So that's going to be fun to watch.
Both teams 5-1, 3-0 in District 2-2A. So whoever wins this one will have a leg up in the district race. Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law School Board Show joining us. Gene, as always, we appreciate the time. Have fun this week, my friend.
Hey, keep it short and tight. You too, Ian.
And we'll be back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview after this. We'll check in on the New Orleans region. We're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Time to take a look at the New Orleans metropolitan area. Coach Lou Vounden, one of my partners in crime on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup on WWL, joins us. And, Coach, let's start with a recap of the Mandeville-Covington game. Nate Shepard, again, proving why he's one of the leading candidates for Mr. Louisiana. 80-yard touchdown run on the first play of the game. In fact, Nate Shepard almost ran into us at our setup in the back of the end zone at Mandeville High School on Friday night. Shepard had an outstanding night in what turned out to be a back-and-forth game. And Mandeville won 35-33. The difference, a missed extra point in the fourth quarter. That turned the tide.
Yeah, you know, Covington missed the extra point, so they had to go for two. And a controversial call, but they said that he did not make a two-point conversion, so Mandeville won. And that puts Mandeville in the driver's seat the rest of the year for the district, because everyone else in the district, Mandeville's undefeated, and everyone else in the district still has to play Mandeville and still has to play Covington. So that puts Mandeville, they're going to be the favorites to win that district, and that's going to put them well ahead in the power points for Division I non-select.
It certainly will. And for Covington, we heard at the game on Friday that one of their top players was held out. We didn't know why. It wasn't injury-related. The details were hazy. We don't know what his status is going to be. So what does Covington have to do to fill that gap?
Well, they have to do what they did against Mandeville. They're going to have to throw the football. You know, I thought they had an outstanding plan against Mandeville. Mandeville played man-to-man. And they did a lot of crossing routes. They did routes designed to get Shepard out the middle of the field. And so, you know, the quarterback spread out, threw a few out routes when he stayed in the middle of the field. So that's what they have to do. They have to continue to, you know, dink and dunk and throw the football and the quarterbacks and let the quarterback run. You know, he looked like he could extend plays, but he was their best running back Friday night. He might have been the leading rusher in the whole game.
Yeah, Caden Heck certainly looked good running the ball and filling that gap left by that missing running back. So for Covington, they say the course, they should be okay going the rest of the way. They get Slidell this week, then Hammond, Ponchatoula, and then they wrap up the season against St. Paul's. Meanwhile, Mandeville this week getting Hammond, getting Ponchatoula after that, followed by St. Paul's and Fontainebleau. Hammond and St. Paul's may be the two toughest opponents left on Mandeville. If they're able to get through them, this district will be theirs and possibly looking at a 10-0 season.
Yeah, they got Hammond this week. Hammond's got a really good football team. But I think Mandeville's at home again, so that ought to bode well for the Skippers.
Looking in the Catholic League, staying in 5A for a moment, a bit of a surprise for me the other night when I saw this score come in. Jesuit beating St. Aug 24-23. St. Aug's now lost three of their last four. They get a tough Rummel team this week. For St. Aug and for Coach Robert Valdez, is it time to hit the panic button?
Yeah, because right now, St. Aug's on the outside looking in. They're only going to take 24 teams. And when you talk about teams like St. Thomas More bumped up in there, and Terrelling's bumped up in that division, you know, so St. Aug's on the outside looking in. So they're going to have to pick up at least one or maybe two more wins to jump into that top 24. You know, Curtis is way down in power points too. Curtis is, you know, they have to beat Brother Martin if they want to have a home game. Carr and Jesuit obviously caused leading that district, and they're right now number one in the power rankings in Division One Select. You know, now Aug's going to have it tough. They got to play Rummel, and Rummel's got a really good football team. What Rummel's got to do? Run the ball. You know, they got that big offensive line. So if Rummel's able to run the football, they could keep the Aug offense off the field. And then a couple other really good games. Shaw and Walker, that'll be a good football game with two good teams. Shaw right now is number two in power points behind U High. So I know they want to win out so that they can have a bye, first round bye. E.D. White and Lutcher, that's going to be a good football game.
It certainly will be smash mouth football.
That's going to be two good teams playing. Holy Cross and Warren Easton in the Catholic League. We already talked Mandeville and Hammond. And one of the best rivalries in the States this week, Sanamont Gators and the East Ascension Spartans. The steak red bean game. The winner gets a steak dinner, the loser eats red beans. It's a very, very, it's intense rivalry, but it's also kind of a friendly rivalry. So,
and when you have food involved, it makes it even better.
So, you know, both teams need to win. You know, Sanamont dropped one, I think, last week, so they need to come back and get a win. But this is the big, this is the big game. I don't know if it's at EA or at the Pit. We did it at the Pit one year, and it was really fun.
I want to go back to the Catholic League for a moment. Etna Carr, they're still undefeated. They're 5-0. They get they get Jesuit this week, 4-2. For Etna Carr, what are the chances they go 9-0, run the table, and go into the playoffs undefeated?
I think excellent. You know, now they still have to play Curtis. They have to play Jesuit. I think it's going to be hard for Jesuit to handle that speed. You know, the Etna Carr speed, it's going to be hard for them. You know, Jesuit's going to have to shorten the game and run the clock, which, you know, Curtis is going to do that week 10. So, but I think Carr has an excellent shot because they are loaded on defense. You know, I'm talking to Hank Tierney after he played. He said Carr's one of the best football teams he's ever seen.
And lastly, before we let you go, St. Martin's Episcopal and Riverside, these two teams put on an offensive clinic, combining for almost 900 total yards in their game. Harlan Berry, Dedrick Lasty, we knew they would be the focus, and Dedrick Lasty just ran circles around St. Martin's the other night. Lasty, 540 yards, 8 touchdowns, had a receiving touchdown, including runs of 65, 58, 37, and 35 yards. I know this is a rivalry game. These are two teams that know each other well. But if you're Riverside after coming out of this game with a huge win, especially after losing to Vermilion Catholic the week before, you've got to be feeling really good right now if you're the Rebels.
Yeah, I think, Riverside's another one. They're high up in the power points. Like, they got a really good shot of running the table. And everyone else in that district's going to have to play St. Martin's, too. I kind of feel bad for Harlan Berry. You know, that might have been his best game of his career, 300-something yards. And what, he had 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
In a losing effort. And last, he had double his yardage. And we did that game last year, and that was kind of Lasky's coming out party. Because we went to see Harlan Berry, and I remember at the end of the game, Coach Roussel saying, yeah, everyone came to see that running back, but they got to see another one too.
And it turned into another running back show the other night. Lasty and Berry, two of the best players in this region. And considering they're playing at small schools, I'd love to see what they could have done if they'd have played at a bigger school, say played in the Catholic League, against better competition, how they'd have performed. But, again, we'll gladly take the memories and these running back clinics, if you will, that they're putting on at these Division IV schools. Looking at the power rankings, for the teams on the outside looking in right now, I know we talked about St. Aug earlier. Who are some of the other ones right now that you feel need to hit the panic button as we get closer to the playoffs?
The Jefferson Parish School, West Jeff, Bonneville, East Jeff, they're on the bubble. So whoever wins out in that district will probably sneak in. But they look like they bubble teams. And then again, St. Aug's right now, 25th.
He is Coach Lou Vounden, one of my partners in crime on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. You can hear us every Friday night, 7 o'clock to 10:30 on the Big 870 WWL. Coach, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll see you Friday night.
All right, Ian.
And from the New Orleans metro area, we now go on to Baton Rouge. Robin Fambro from The Advocate joining us. And Robin, several big matchups on the docket this week. Central and Catholic are facing each other in a huge district contest. What can we expect from this one?
I think that one's going to be a lot of fun, you know, especially if you're love, passion, and high school football. Both teams play with a lot of emotion. And, you know, Central has their quarterback, Jackson Furman, who's a Nichols commitment. DK Mays, the edge rusher, is a Houston commitment. And, you know, you got a lot of things going on there. Obviously, Jacob Bradford for Catholic changed his commitment from Houston to LSU over the weekend. So just a lot of eye candy and stuff to look at. And it'll be fun to see how they play off of each other because the game went down to the wire last year when they played.
Central 6-0, 1-0 in district. Catholic of Baton Rouge 4-1, 1-0 in district. Moving to 5-5A, Dutchtown with a big game this week. They're undefeated, 5-0, 2-0 in district play. They get 4-2 Denham Springs, looking to get to 2-1 in district.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. There may be some injuries that impact Denham Springs. I'm not sure how that is going to work this week. Hopefully they'll have everybody locked and ready to go, but obviously, you know, they dropped their game last week with Live Oak, and they'll be eager to get back over the top. Dutchtown, it'll be interesting to see how they recalibrated during an open date.
Staying in that district, East Ascension playing Santama in a rivalry game, not only a district matchup, but a big rivalry between these two. East Ascension at 3-3, Santama at 3-2.
Yes, and this one has a lot at stake for both teams. It always does. You can always throw the records out, and you never know what you're going to get. Last year, you thought it was maybe going to go one way, and it went the other. So they just have a lot of fun. Again, a lot of passion. That game means so much, not just to the teams, but also to the communities, that it's like old school football.
Moving to District 6-4A, Plaquemine gets St. Michael the Archangel this week. Brule with a big game themselves in that district, taking on West Feliciana.
Yeah, Brule West Feliciana is a longtime rivalry. And actually, throw St. Michael in that mix, too. They all played in the same 3A district for years. And, Brule has their loss to Plaquemine, and West Feliciana has a loss to Plaquemine. So everybody is trying to play catch-up and making sure that they can do what they need to do. And, this is a big one for both of them. It'll be interesting to see who emerges.
Moving on to the smaller schools, Episcopal taking on Slaughter this week. This one will have some weight in the district race because both of them with similar district records right now. What kind of trouble will Slaughter present when they take on Episcopal?
Well, they're going to be an unknown quantity because Slaughter was a 1A school before this year, and they really haven't had football that long. So, you know, this is two teams that have never played each other, and one that's never played in Class 2A before. Now, Slaughter has, seems to be a lot of interchangeable athletes that play different positions and do different things. Their quarterback is Ty Ford. He plays very well. Episcopal has the running, their running attack. It's always so steady. I think Reed Chauvin has over 700 yards rushing right now, so that one's going to be a lot of fun to watch, too.
And the last game on the agenda this week, Walker at Archbishop Shaw. This is a non-district matchup. Both teams come into this game 4-2. Archbishop Shaw riding a four-game winning streak. What does Walker bring to the table in this game?
Walker will look to try to really bring it after losing last week to Santa Monica. That's going to be huge for them. They need to really, kind of get back on track or try to get back on track, kind of recalibrate a little bit. And this is a huge road test, which if they want to excel in the playoffs like they did last year, they went to the quarterfinals for the first time ever, they're going to need a game like this to be able to help them, you know, make that segue to where they need to be.
That loss to Santamon, by the way, snapping a two-game win streak, 33-26 the final there. Walker looking to begin a new win streak and snap Shaw's in the process. Robin Fambro from The Advocate joining us to discuss this week's schedule of games in the Baton Rouge area. Robin, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much.
And we're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. When we return, we'll take a look at the Acadiana region. We're back on the Week 7 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. I'm Ian Ozan. We're now joined by Kevin Foote of the Acadiana Advocate, giving us the lowdown on the Lafayette Acadiana region. Kevin, let's start in District 3-5A. Acadiana, they've won five in a row after losing their opener to Ruston. They get Lafayette this week, then Southside, Sam Houston, Karen Crow. Does Acadiana run the table, win this district with a perfect record within the league and 9-1 on the season?
Yeah, if you're going to put a lot of money, that's what you would bet. I think that's what will happen, yes. But I do think Southside has turned out to be a lot better than I thought they were going to be. I didn't think Southside would be bad by any stretch, but I didn't think they'd be, handling pretty good teams like they have. And so I don't think that the distance between Acadiana and Southside is as big as I thought it was going to be. But yeah, if you were going to certainly be a betting man, you would think that that's what's going to happen, yes.
Now, with that in mind, Acadiana plays Lafayette in a rivalry game this week. Lafayette 3-3 on the season. Southside, meanwhile, gets Sulphur this week. They're also 3-3. Do you think either Acadiana or Southside or both fall into traps playing opponents that are inferior to what they're going to get next week?
No, I don't. I think first of all, even though Lafayette High has not beaten Acadiana in about almost 20, I think it's 18 or 19 years now. We're approaching 20 years since they beat them. It's still technically a rivalry, and they don't want to lose that. And I think the great thing about running the football the way Southside is, the old cliche is defense travels. I think running the football and physical superiority travels too. And so I don't expect a letdown against Sulphur.
So you're expecting these two teams to play next week. Both will be undefeated in district in a game that may wind up being the district championship game.
I would think absolutely. And, I think you just got to – I mean, everybody knew Acadiana was going to be in this position. I think there was a lot of questions, especially, the first 2 weeks Southside didn't play all that well. But since then, they have really handled anybody that's – we thought Sam Houston was going to be pretty good. We thought Barb was going to be pretty good, and they handled both of them. So it was they've done a very good, nice job.
Moving to District 4-4A, Turlings this week, 6-0, 3-0 in district, get North Vermilion at 2-4. St. Thomas Moore, meanwhile, gets 0-6 Como. Next week, though, STM gets a Rain squad that's 3-3 and 2-1 in district. Rain, meanwhile, playing Westgate this week. So of these three teams, does Rain or St. Thomas Moore have an opportunity of leapfrogging Turlings here, or do you think Turlings right now is in such a groove that they run the table?
Oh, I don't know about run the table. I mean, I think the STM game is going to be really tough. Rain and North Vermilion and Northside, they're on different levels than Turlings and STM. And I would say Westgate is on that level, except for they've had so many injuries at quarterback that their offense is not, I don't know that they really would have a fighting chance, just because their offense is just not allowed them to be with the injuries. But, speaking of injuries, one of the things that's kind of behind the scenes for Turlings that's not good is they've had now they've now had six ACL, season-ending ACL injuries, and Coach Dane was telling me that they haven't had six in the last 8 years, and they've had six this year. And so one of them was a starting defensive end last week. That was kind of sickening, even though they had a great victory. You lose a starter to an injury, and it's kind of rough. So I think the STM Turlings game is going to be very competitive. STM's passing the ball a little bit better. You figure they would make progress in that area. Turlings last week, in a rout of Rain, they really worked on their passing game and made a little progress there. So that game may go down. Both teams play good defense. Both teams can really run the ball. May go down to which team can pass it just enough to win that game. So I look at that game as pretty even right now.
In District 5-4A, Cecilia gets Beauchamp this week in a district that's really down. OHS, Opelousas, hasn't played a district game yet. They get Natchitoches Central this week. That should bump them back to 500 at 3-3. But looking at this district, Cecilia 4-2, Diesel Solari getting injured against Central, but he's back and now things are running as smoothly as ever for the Bulldogs. Meanwhile, Livonia, 1-5, got their first win of the season against district rival Beauchamp last week. Opelousas, they're 2-3. They've yet to play a district game. Beauchamp, 1-5, not terribly surprising there. Bro Bridge, though, the biggest surprise, 0-6 in the year so far. What's going on in Bro Bridge?
Well, they're really struggling, and it's hard. You know, sometimes we complain about what we have. You know, they've had the same coaching staff or the same coaching regime for about almost three decades there. Coach Mowat and then Coach Broussard, and then, you know, and you may not win as much as you want. And then now when you start changing coaches every year, it's so difficult to maintain any consistency. That district, you know, Cecilia's really good. Opelousas's really good. Every other team in that district is just really poor and really struggling. Like, it is amazing, you know. Livonia was like 0-5, and they beat somebody like 40-something points in that district. And in that, the rest of that district is just really bad. And so last week, Cecilia didn't even have to play Diesel Solari, and obviously they won by a lot of points. And Ella Stewart had this unbelievable performance as the backup quarterback moving over from another position. And it's all about, you know, 2 weeks from now when Cecilia plays Opelousas, and we'll see how that goes.
Moving on to District 4-3A, Iota in a non-district match taking on Westlake. Both teams with identical 5-1 records, but in district play, Northwest taking on Church Point. Both teams 4-2. Northwest 2-0 in district, Church Point 2-1. For these two squads, for the Batlin Bears and the Raiders, who do you think comes out on top here and who takes the lead in the district?
Well, I don't know. That's going to be a good one. Church Point a few weeks ago lost a nail biter to Iota, and Northwest, obviously, you know, they got the transfer running back from St. Ed's, and he's having a fabulous season for Northwest. But they got tripped up a few times. Jennings beat them, and Barr beat them. And so we'll see how, you know, I think that's an even matchup. Church Point has been a little snake bit in close games. They've just had trouble winning them. And so if they can stop the run, they'll have a pretty good chance. I look at that as a toss-up game.
Need to correct myself. Because Iota's idle, they'll stay 3-0 in districts, so worst that can happen is they'll be tied for first after the weekend. In 5-3A, Erath gets Berwick. Kaplan in a non-district game gets Southern Lab. That'll be a fun one. In St. Martinville, they're 1-5, hosting an undefeated Generette 5-0 in non-district play. Let's go to the smaller schools in 2A and 1A with the minute or two we have left. What are some of the bigger matchups in the smaller classifications you'll be looking at this week?
Well, the best matchup of the week in our area is Ascension Episcopal playing Vermilion Catholic. And two teams, Ascension Episcopal had been in AA, now they're moving down to Class A. And, you know, it's all about can you stop Jonathan Dortez? And no one has really been able to do it. They, a couple of weeks ago, they went to Riverside. He had 40 carries and carried it for a school record, like 370 yards, and also threw for 200 yards. He's in terms of a one-man show, he's probably the most – he's probably the MVP in all classifications in all levels in the whole state, really, when you look at what he did. I don't think I've ever seen that before where someone had 40 carries out of 43 for his team against a good team on the road, and they couldn't stop him. And so on the flip side, Ascension Episcopal's got a new quarterback, not nearly as experienced as Jonathan Dortez and Brandon Mitchell. And he's doing very well. He's a big, tall, lean kick and starting to throw better. So I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. But no one's been able to stop Dortez so far. We'll see if Ascension Episcopal can.
He's Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate, our correspondent from the Lafayette, Acadiana area. Kevin, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
And from the Acadiana region, we head to the Bayou and River regions of the state. Troy LaBeouf joining us. And Troy, this week's game of the week, in fact, this is the game that the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup will be at, is Lutcher and E.D. White. These are two teams that are evenly matched. Lutcher last week coming off a big 44-0 victory over South Terrebonne. E.D. White themselves coming in with only one loss. They're 5-1 on the season. What can we expect from this game?
Yeah, good to be with you again this week. Already week 7, Ian. The weather has cooled down for us. Should be exciting week of football, of Thursday, Friday, Saturday games. But this is a big one. I think fans are going to see is two very well-coached football teams. You start with Lutcher and three shutouts in a row. I mean, what else can you say? The defense continues to play well. They shut out South Terrebonne 44-0. I mean, shutouts are hard to get, especially when you're subbing later in the game, you know, when the score is out of reach and you start playing some of the younger players. So that's a testament to the coaching staff at Lutcher for those younger guys to go in there and continue to shut out South Terrebonne. I don't care who you're playing, a shutout is a shutout, but that's three in a row. So it's a repeat of what's going on the last couple of weeks for them. So I'm running out of things to talk about this defense, but you play E.D. White team who has played a very difficult schedule this season. Lutcher wants to run the football. They'll throw it. You know, they go some play action stuff. They'll sprint their quarterback, Zach Jenkins, out of the coach's son. They want to get Trenton Chaney the football. But E.D. White, they always are in the right place. They're just always in the right place defensively. They don't get out of their lanes. Their run fits are good. Coaches know what I'm talking about with that. And they just play sound. You don't see many weaknesses, even when you talk about special teams for both of these teams. E.D. White has an unbelievable kicker. I think the kid may just be a junior still. He's good from 40, 45, maybe up to 50. But this is two evenly matched teams going at it, and two teams that have played very difficult schedules to prepare for this moment. I guess you got to give a little bit of the edge to Lutcher for hosting the football game, but this is one I would love to be able to catch.
Riverside last week beating St. Martin 76-37. The Dedrick Lasty Show overshadowing Harlan Berry, both with outstanding nights. Lasty, 9 touchdowns, 534 rushing yards. Berry, 314 yards, 5 touchdowns. Riverside comes out ahead. This week they play West St. John in what could be the district championship game. The Rams, 4-1. Who do you expect to come out on top? Or I guess the better question here is, can Dedrick Lasty have another big week after essentially blowing up last week?
Well, I tell you what, do you imagine, Ian, how upset those kids were after losing to Vermilion Catholic? Can you imagine what the practices were like?
I can only imagine.
I mean, they put up 76 points against a good St. Martin's team, albeit, you know, a little deficient in some areas, but, I mean, obviously you got to play a guy like Harlan Berry. They have some other offensive weapons as well. But as you mentioned, Lasty, all 5'5" of him, 9 touchdowns, 534 yards. That's a good season, a good full 10-game season for some running backs. He did it in one game. Berry was no slouch on the other side, 314 yards and 5 touchdowns. But this is going to be a good matchup with West St. John. This should be for the district title. The Rams are having a very good year after some really down years. They were just ravaged by the storm 3 or 4 years ago. It lost a lot of the kids that transferred out to different schools. It seems like Coach Thomas is starting to get some of those kids to come back and keeping the kids that are in that area. We all know the tradition of West St. John football. They're going to have to be really good this week because Riverside, who knows? Sometimes they say a loss. You know, you take a loss to Vermilion Catholic where you just get run up and down on the field. Sometimes a loss makes your team better, and that could be the case at Riverside. I don't see the Rebels slowing up now because they got a huge, huge statement put against them when they lost to Vermilion Catholic. So who knows? The coaches deep down, you don't want to lose a game, but sometimes you have to have something like that to get the attention of your team.
Hahnville getting a big win, 45-21 over Thibodeau. Now 4-1 on the season are the Tigers of Hahnville. They get Central Lafourche this week.
Yeah, Hahnville's playing well. Coach Boyne's got them going well. They're top 10, I think number 7 in the power rankings right now. They host Central Lafourche and East St. John the next 2 weeks. That's games that they should win, which is going to set up a matchup that you and I are going to talk about in week 9 in 2 weeks, and that's going to be it against Destrehan. So the biggest challenge for Coach Barney and his staff is to not look ahead to the Wildcats in week 9. They got to focus. The Tigers need to focus in on Central Lafourche this week. When Central's got a couple of good wins this season, they've got an improved team, and then East St. John's having a tough time. They got a lot of young football players. So I would expect Hahnville to take care of business the next 2 weeks and set up a colossal matchup in week 9 with Destrehan.
Speaking of Destrehan, they get a big test this week. Captain Shreve, the number 13 team in Select Division 1. We talked about that 77-76 overtime win against Evangel earlier in the program. So with this Captain Shreve team coming in with that type of a game behind them, how do you expect Destrehan to handle Captain Shreve? Do you think they're able to take advantage of some emotional letdown that Shreve may be coming off of?
Yeah, you know, take the over on this one, Ian. I mean, the points that Captain Shreve has put up the last 2 weeks, 77-76 over Evangel. They lost 2 weeks ago to Airline. Airline 6-0 on the season. They got a great quarterback, and I think his name is Ben Young. He's getting close to the touchdown record. Got to keep a close eye on that. They lose that one 69-68. That's basketball score.
Right. I was about to say these are football games, not basketball.
Yeah, they're putting up unbelievable scores. So Destrehan's going to have to be good. I think they're starting to get some of their injured players back. They took H.L. Bourgeois 33-7. Captain Shreve is in Division I Select, number 13, no slouch. This is going to be a tough test for Destrehan.
St. Charles finally got a win last week, 25-19, their first win as members of Class 4A. Now they get East St. John, and for St. Charles, this very well could turn into a two-game winning streak after starting the season 0-5.
Yeah, those guys could coach a little bit, right, at St. Charles?
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't forget how to coach, I promise you. They just played such a difficult schedule. They turned over a lot of seniors from last year that were really experienced, especially on the offensive side. But they get a big PowerPoint win over one of the most talented teams in the area in Terrebonne. So they were out of the playoffs a week ago. Now they're number 16. So that showed you just how big of a win it was for St. Charles. So back to the winning ways. I like the comments to continue getting better as the season goes along. Somebody's going to play in the second round in those playoffs, and they're going to be a higher seed, maybe a 5 seed playing against St. Charles. That might be a 12 seed when it's all said and done, and I would not want to be the 5 seed, because you're going to play a team in St. Charles that you know has gone to the Dome so many different times. So watch out for the comments that they finally put some points up, and they're going to continue to improve offensively.
St. James looks to rebound from a 35-14 loss to Shaw last week. They'll play McDonough 35 this week.
Yeah, they play a talented MAC 35 team down in your area over there. So a lot of really good players. We know what type of talent comes out of MAC 35. But St. James, they play a difficult schedule to prepare themselves, and they don't want to look forward, because they do have a big matchup next week when they play Donaldsonville, and that'll be on the road. I'll actually have that game. I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be for the district title. But they got to take care of a talented MAC team this week. I think they do. Just too much speed for this St. James team.
And lastly, looking back, Ascension Catholic versus Ascension Christian. If you bet on Ascension to win, congratulations. Catholic beating Christian 56-7. Well, who do these two teams have this week?
Yeah, Bulldogs took care of business early. I don't know if I've ever seen a running clock start in the first quarter. It was actually the beginning of the second quarter. It was 43-0. Bulldogs was super, super focused. Ascension Christian will face East Iberville, who's coming off a loss to White Castle. And there was a little skirmish in that White Castle-East Iberville game. Not a whole lot. I think the referees controlled it, so it looks like East Iberville will be good to play this week. And Ascension Catholic, they have their rival, St. John, on Thursday night. So it should be a test for the Bulldogs. St. John nearly upset North Iberville, who's undefeated. So when these two teams play and kind of throw the records out, St. John, they would love nothing better than to beat Ascension Catholic and knock them out of that number 2 spot in the power rankings.
He is Troy LaBeouf, our River and Bayou area correspondent here on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Troy, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
And I look forward to it, Ian.
And we're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. After this, we head to the Lake Charles area right after this. Week 7 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview rolls on. We go to the Lake Charles area, southwest Louisiana. Chasten Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joins us. And Chasten, in the big game of the week out there this past week, Iowa thrashed Leesville, which for me is a bit of a surprise. Not that Iowa won, but the fact that they won it by as large of a margin as they did, 62-28. Iowa this week gets a struggling Washington Marion team. Leesville, though, rebounding, playing a 3-3 DeRidder team. So with that in mind, what does Leesville have to do to rebound, and do you think they pick up the win on the rebound?
Yeah, look, that Iowa-Leesville game, that was actually the game that we went and did, one of the biggest games not only in the area, but one of the biggest games in the state. And, you know, for, they've played a couple of times in the past couple of years. This time was the first time they had played as district opponents. And let me tell you, that game, I don't know if anyone saw that outcome coming. It was 6-0 Leesville early. They drove down, and then Iowa came back. It was 7-6, and we're like, okay, like, we may be in for a shootout, you know. This one could be a ton of fun. And that that touchdown from Iowa was 35 consecutive points. They went on a 35-0 run before it was 35-14 at halftime. And that was all she wrote. It was off to the races for Iowa in a dominating win, a win that really gives Iowa the leg up for the district title, even though it was the first game they have played in district. The only other really team that you can see maybe giving them a run for their money, probably maybe going to be LaGrange. We still don't really know what LaGrange is yet, but, you know, we'll see. In terms of Leesville, look, they just weren't ever able to get anything going offensively. And defense, my goodness, it just wasn't there for them on Friday night. Offensively, they just couldn't get anything going. This week, it's a big one for them. This is a rivalry week. It's the battle for the Hooper Trophy. It's two teams who don't really like each other very much. It's going to be an interesting one. I do think Leesville bounces back in a big way and gets the win over DeRidder.
You brought up LaGrange, and this is a surprise for me. I remember just a few years ago when LaGrange was playing up in 3-5A, and they were outclassed in that district. They moved down back to 4A, and their fortunes didn't get much better. This year, they open the season 5-0. They open district with the win against Washington Marion. And this week, they take on a Eunice team that's yet to get a win. For LaGrange, they've got to be feeling pretty good about themselves having a chance at the district championship. Granted, they still have to play Leesville. They still have to play Iowa. But this is a team that could be going into the playoffs with 7 wins, if not more.
Yeah, look, it's been a good big turnaround for Coach Adabi. Look, they have been rocking and rolling. They've got some athletes. They've finally been able to put it all together. They got a struggling Eunice team coming up this week, a chance to get them another win. But I think, you know, these next 4 weeks, we're going to really find out, you know, who LaGrange is, you know, at Eunice, at DeRidder, versus Iowa, and then versus Leesville. Those are going to be four tall tasks, because even though you look at Eunice and they don't have a win yet, they've been playing some uber-competitive football games.
Going back to 3-5A, the former district of – or the district in which LaGrange formerly played up until a few years ago, not a good week for the Lake Charles area school. Sam Houston falling to Southside, Barb falling to Acadiana. Sulphur got a win over a New Iberia team that really and truly they should have beaten, 28-21. Though Sulphur this week gets a 4-1 Southside squad. Barb this week gets that matchup against New Iberia, while Sam Houston takes on a struggling Karen Crow squad. So for these teams in 3-5A, is it time to hit the panic button for them, or do you think they still have a chance to cement themselves in the top 28, the top 24 for the playoffs?
Yeah, look, I think in terms of the playoffs, I think they're going to be fine. You look at Sam Houston going into that game versus Southside, they were sitting at number 4, you know, in the Division I power rating. So I think Sam Houston, I think they're going to be fine. And Barb was sitting right just inside of the top 10. So I think, you know, with 4 weeks left of the season, I think that in terms of the playoffs, I think they'll be fine, unless, you know, especially for Barb, things are going to kind of get a little bit easier in terms of the district slate. They've got all the really tough teams, per se, out of the way outside of that Week 10 matchup with Sam Houston. They should be fine. I think they'll solidify themselves a home game for sure, which is going to be a big turnaround for Coach Owens and the Yang. And Sam Houston, I think it's the same way. Look, a Southside team who – you know, really good defensively. I mean, Jess Curtis coming over from Manny and Natchitoches Central, always going to have a good football team defensively, and it's no different. Look, they got Karen Crow this week, and then it's New Iberia
and then they finish at Acadiana and Barb. I think Sam Houston will be fine. Again, their big bugaboo, as it has been all year, is defense. They're averaging about 40 points a game on offense, still giving up about 35 points defensively, and that might be an issue.
Need to correct myself slightly. I had it right the first time. Because the Calcasieu schools are all non-select, they do play in the 2018 brackets. So to be on the bubble, they need to be around the 28 mark, unlike the select schools where there are only 24 teams. Speaking of non-select schools, Jennings winning 5 in a row as they get ready to take on South Beauregard this week. Both teams coming in at 5-1. Westlake, also 5-1. They get an Iota squad with the same record. You've got a hyper-competitive district here in 3-3A with Jennings at 5-1, Westlake 5-1, South Bow at 5-1, and then in one of the neighboring districts, Iota, with the same record. So you've got four teams all within the span of a few miles of each other that are gunning for top playoff spots.
Yeah, look, there are two big time games this week, two games that we had pondered over for our game of the week. Westlake Iota and South Beauregard Jennings. Those are two massive games. I'm curious how Westlake plays this Iota game. They've kind of hit a little bit of a snide. Their offense hasn't really been performing at a high level over the last couple of weeks. Dropped a tough one to ERath, and then they turned around, had to kind of slug it out versus a struggling St. Louis team. Look, they're 5-1, but this is going to be a big test for them against Iota, kind of see where they're at in the district. And then my game of the week this week is actually going to be Jennings and South Beauregard, 2 5-1 teams here in the area. Jennings, we've seen what they've been able to do with Chris Ned and Rijon Zeno. Look, South Beauregard is coming off a massive win. Look, Kinder just last week went down to Logansport, a 1A powerhouse, went to Logansport on that new turf and beat Logansport, which was a huge win, and beat them by a couple of touchdowns. And then to come back home, and really, South Beauregard just dismantled them. It was way easy. I mean, it wasn't even close on a Thursday night game. And that was a huge win for South Beauregard. So now they're going to try and ride that wave into taking on a Jennings squad at home, and a game that should be a ton of fun, and we'll have that action.
And looking at the small schools, because we don't want to neglect them, in Class 2A, DeQuincy is 5-1. They get a 1-5 Jonesboro-Hodge team this weekend that right now is just gasping for air and grasping for anything they can get to go their way. Meanwhile, in 1A, District 4-1A, Elton, they're 5-1. They get ready to play Hamilton Christian this week. They're 4-1 overall, both teams undefeated in district. And Maryville, we haven't talked about them much. They're 0-1 in District 3-3 overall. They get Oberlin this week in a district game. So with some of these small schools, we don't talk about them much, but you've got several of them from your part of the state that are looking like serious contenders.
Yeah, look, DeQuincy, they've had a couple of tough injuries here as of late, but, man, they dropped a heartbreaker at the hands of ERath. ERath hit a game-winning field goal with about a minute left in the football game. They weren't able to come back and win it, but, man, what a turnaround. I mean, they had two wins just a year ago, and now they've already had 5-1 on the year. They have been rocking and rolling. We've done a couple of their games so far. They're not going to have any trouble with Logansport, I don't imagine. They'll get to 6-1, and they're going to be, I mean, goodness gracious. That's a tough out in the playoffs. And then you look, Hamilton Christian and Elton, that is a massive game. Both teams, not necessarily a surprise. Hamilton Christian has been the real surprise. They have been they've been a ton of fun. Coach Dexter Washington, he's always got some guys, but boy, it feels like this year he's really got some dudes. And then Maryville, look, Coach Bart Cootie has done a great job over at Maryville. You know, especially those small schools, places like Maryville, I don't want to say out in the middle of nowhere, but basically it is.
They practically are.
Especially when you've got some places like DeRidder and South Beauregard all kind of around you, you know, sandwiched in with the Texas, you know, right there on the border. You don't have many kids at all that are going to dress out for football. And so what Coach Bart Cootie and gang have done over at Maryville with a limited roster is pretty darn incredible.
It certainly is, and wishing them the best of luck as they go along. As you mentioned, these are schools that really and truly, if they didn't play football, probably could be playing Class B or Class C in the other sports. But football for them is life. They play in Class 1A, and they're doing a great job at it so far. Chasten Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joining us to give us the lay of the land in Southwest Louisiana. Chasten, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
There it is. Appreciate it.
And we roll on with the Pelican State Prep Football Preview by going to Central Louisiana, the Alexandria region. Lamar Gafford from SenlaPreps.com joins us. And Lamar, Alexandria, the Goldbergs of high school football in Central Louisiana, who's next? They're undefeated. And to answer the question of who's next, it's going to be Pineville, 3-3. Can Alexandria keep the run going in this district matchup against the Pineville team that lost to Neville last week?
I definitely feel like so. Now, I think in a way here, this does kind of have the makings of a trap game, because obviously you've spent out a lot of emotion in this matchup against West Monroe. And, of course, you have that big matchup coming up against Ruston coming up in week 8. And you're going to travel, make the short trip to a Pineville squad that, you know, that's looking for a big win here and everything, and that has not won in this rivalry in over 10 years. But I think that the way that Ash is right now, they're focused. They're razor sharp focused right now, and I just think that it's going to be pretty much an easier victory for them in this matchup here. I mean, I feel like Pineville's going to give it everything that they have. I mean, they're playing a little bit faster this year and everything else like that. But I think with the way that how Coach Bogman has this Ash team going right now, I just think that they're not going to overlook this matchup. They have an idea that they know what the goal is for them, and they know that the goal is for them to win a district championship and to also get as far as they possibly can to possibly win that state championship. So I feel like they're going to continue to roll right there, and that's pretty much that.
And this would be the perfect trap game and an easy game to overlook, because Ruston is next week. Ruston is 1-0 in district, as are Neville and Alexandria. And, in fact, Alexandria gets Ruston, then Washaw Parish, and Neville. So they're going to play two other unbeatens, or at least unbeatens right now, in the final 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, I mean, they're just getting battle-tested, and, you know, talking with Coach Bogman this past weekend, I mean, he says that he'll put up this district, this 2-5A district, up against any other district across the state and everything. And I feel like the same way. You know, I mean, it's a pretty tough competitive district with at least the five teams, and, you know, not to count out Pineville and everything because they continue to play hard. But, you know, you have three great teams right now that are undefeated at this stretch of the season, and they have not played any weak teams at all. I mean, you look at Ruston right now, man. They've beaten three Texas teams so far just to get to this point, and we already know what Neville has done, even making from their jump up from 4A to 5A, and they definitely have really just shown that they could possibly do that as well. And, you know, West Monroe has always been a solid team. And then, you have Washington that's always a solid team. So, you know, it's a gauntlet. Now, it's going to be a gauntlet pretty much from here on out for Ash at this point here. But I feel like it's a gauntlet that they're ready to take up right now at that point.
Moving to Class 3A, Bunky. They're 1-0, undefeated overall in the season. 6-0, they got a 53-0 win over Caldwell Parish last week. They get Buckeye this week, 4-2. Buckeye also undefeated in district. This could help decide the district race, depending on what happens with Gina, who, by the way, plays Vidalia this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is going to be an interesting game here just for Bunky just to get ready for that matchup against Gina in week 8. And, you know, talk about teams that, you know, they're probably not going to overlook Buckeye at all either in this case. Because Buckeye, you know, of course, these last couple of weeks they bounced back. They got themselves some good wins here. And now they're trying to get their season up and running too. And they would love nothing more than just to probably spoil this undefeated season for Bunky right now. You know, it's an early week game. I mean, it's a Thursday game. So, of course, you know, now you're going to speed up your process up a little bit there. But, you know, I think with the way that Bunky has been playing, and especially with their defense, I mean, their defense has just been incredible, lights out so far this season. I think Bunky's going to pretty much stay focused on that one too, because they know what the task is at hand right now. They get their two losses last year against Gina and also against Episcopal. They already know here, they kept them fresh in their mind right there, that they just really at least want to finish the job at least and get a little bit further from where they were last year.
And, of course, Gina, we know how strong they can be. They're playing Vidalia this week. That's, I don't want to call it a trap game, but Vidalia's not all that strong this year. For Gina, it's just a matter of staying focused.
Absolutely. And, of course, they know what happened the last couple of times that they weren't focused when they lost their games against Tioga and also lost the game against St. Fred's. And in those, after those losses, I mean, Coach Rohr basically said, "Look, we did not play Gina football." And then they came back in those next 2 weeks. After those two losses, you know, they shut out a good Winfield team, and then they came up and beat Marksville to open up a district, the district play. And so that's the thing. He's trying to get them to play that style of football. Now, of course, you lose a lot of seniors from last year. Now you're trying to see where that senior leadership is getting to at this point. And so that has been kind of inconsistent there. But they're still a solid team. They still know what the mood is. They still know what the mold is there. And I still think that it's just as any of them here, you can pretty much bank that they're still going to come out and play hard as well. And by the way, shout out to Coach Jay Roard. He got his 100th win this past week against Marksville, so that had to be a very good accomplishment. But, you know, he kind of downplayed that accomplishment. He just continued to say, look, this is all about our program. This is about our coaches. This is about our kids that we have there. And that's just the type of guy he is and everything. But I just wanted to shout him out there.
Speaking of shout-outs, we have to give Avoyelles their props as well. They started the season 0-3. Now they're on a three-game win streak. They're back at 500. They won their district opener against Port Barry this past week. Granted, Port Barry's only 1-5. And this week, Avoyelles takes on another sub-500 team. And holy savior, Menard, can Avoyelles make it 4 in a row?
They possibly can, but I think it's going to be very tough there because I think Menard is a better team at home than they are on the road. And it has been like that even last year where I think they lost, they won all their home matchups and only won a one on the road. So that's been the thing so far. You know, Menard is 2-0 at home, 0-4 on the road. They get Avoyelles at home. It's going to be homecoming for them as well. What I imagine this matchup is going to be, it's going to be a quick and physical matchup. Both teams play pretty much the same way. Smash mouth offense, we're going to play great defense against you, and that's pretty much that. I like what Avoyelles has been able to do so far as well, as bouncing back, because last year, I mean, they were even in a deeper hole than this. They were 0-5. They played against one of the tougher the matchups in the state here. They had one of the tougher schedules in the state. And I think that has kind of helped them prepare just even to get to this point here. And it's going to be interesting because I think this is going to be one of those low-scoring matchups. I'll definitely be at that matchup there. But I feel like it's going to be a pretty good game between both them and Menard because, you know, Avoyelles already knows, look, we get to 2-0. I mean, we're halfway there to the championship. And Menard knows, hey, if we win this game, then we're right back in it. We still have a shot here. And so, you know, that's the thing about this district. Anything can happen in 5-2A, and especially with Avoyelles, Kinder, and Oakdale, and also Menard there. So anything can happen there.
Lamar Gafford, SinlawPreps.com, joining us on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview to give us a preview of this week's matchups in the Central Louisiana area. Lamar, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Good deal. Have a good one. Take care.
And after this break, we'll be back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview, so don't go anywhere. We're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Before we go, a bit of a developing story out of the Lafayette area. Shortly after we spoke with Kevin Foote, we learned that Como and North Vermilion High Schools will forfeit their games this week. That's because players from both teams got into a benches-clearing fight after their game last week. That resulted in numerous player suspensions for Week 7. In fact, neither team has enough players to take the field this week after those suspensions, leading to the forfeits. This impacts the leaders in District 4-4A, as Hurlings was scheduled to play North Vermilion and St. Thomas More was scheduled to play Como. According to reports, STM is seeking to fill the suddenly open spot on their schedule. No word as of yet if Turlings will try to add a new opponent to their schedule. On a more positive note, we want to celebrate the 123 student-athletes who are named to the LHSAA Composite Football All-Academic Team. These players represent schools across all five classifications, from playoff contenders to schools who are still searching for their first wins. Regardless of their team's success on the field, these 123 football players are all successes in the classroom. Every single one of them has a 4.0 grade point average. We congratulate these champions in the classroom, and we wish them luck both on the field and in their studies throughout the rest of the academic year. That'll do it for this week's edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Thanks to our correspondents, Tim Fletcher, Gene Ponte, Lou Valden, Robin Fambro, Kevin Foote, Troy LaBeouf, Chasen Tavares, and Lamar Gafford. I'm Ian Ozan. We'll see you again next week on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview on WWL.com.